And we're going to spend a few Sundays thinking about how we can reach out to others so that other people may come to know Christ too. It's really important that we don't ever think of the church as a club, just a place where we go and we indulge in a little secret passion. We have a little religious passion together. We all like doing it the same way, so we come together to do it, and then that's it. God never intended the church to be like that at all. And although we tend in our church to come together on Sunday at particular times to worship God, God doesn't intend for it to be like a club. He does intend to feel like home, but when you think about it, home and a club are different. You wouldn't want to live in a club. But some of you like hanging around here. Well, that's great. You know, it's nice when we hang out together. It's nice when we're not rushing off. I think, was it you, Francis, who was saying that sometimes you go and preach in other churches, you can nearly always tell what sort of how far they are with God by two things. What happens at the end of the service? Are they out of the door like bullets out of a gun? If they are, then there's no real sense of fellowship. The second thing is you could nearly always tell their doctrine of the Holy Spirit by the sort of food they serve up. The more charismatic they are, normally the better portions you get and the nicer grub it is. I'm not joking. I have suffered much in many churches when it comes to tea and biscuits, I tell you. So God wants us to reach out to others because he wants other people to get to know Jesus. Now I want to talk tonight, this afternoon, about prayer and the part prayer may help in reaching out to others. Because you may not have thought, prayer, what's he on about? How can prayer help us reach out to others? Well, I think it helps us because prayer for mission is something which needs to begin in our own heart. We need to want to see people change. We need to have a concern about other people. So let's look at this reading now, Acts chapter 4, verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they'd prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now the context of this passage from the book of Acts is that Peter and John had been under arrest. They'd spent a night in the cells, and what was their crime? They'd healed a man. And when they were let out of jail, they returned to some of the Christians in Jerusalem who'd gathered together to pray. And we're told they raised their voices together, they lifted their voices with one accord. What was the form of their prayer? What was the form of their prayer? Well, they raised their voices together. It wasn't left to one or two people to do the praying. I think one of the really important things I discovered, and oddly, I discovered it after I'd been the pastor here for about 6 years, I suppose, was that there were better ways to pray than the ways I had inherited from watching other people. Because inevitably you sort of copy what you've seen other people do. And I discovered that one of the ways that perhaps we ought to have prayed in church was to pray together. with everyone lifting up their voices simultaneously. And timidly we introduced that, and it all seemed a bit strange at the time. But now I'm pleased to say lots of people do it. It's considered much more normal. Do you know, I find it really a jolly sight easier. I don't know about you. Do you imagine the scenario? You're just coming into church. This is the sort of thing that happens. And somebody says, oh, Dennis, can you pray for Uncle Jim? Uncle Jim, he's not a believer. In fact, he's a bit of a drunkard. And he's got this, that and the other wrong with him. And they've just taken him into hospital. And we don't know how long he's going to live. And we want you to pray that he's going to be converted. No pressure there then. And can you lead that prayer in public? Now, that can be awfully hard. And I think that sometimes it's actually quite effective to share with the congregation. Say, look, this is a situation. I really haven't got a clue how to pray. Let's lift up our voices together. You know, if you're somebody who prays in tongues, that's a good time to do that. That's one of the reasons God gives that ability. Sometimes people are just happy to pray in English. But I find when we lift up our voices together, I feel, yep, we've done that. The big advantage of praying all together in a public meeting is that everybody gets a turn. You're not just dependent upon one person at the front. We all feel we have participated. And this is in the Bible. This is not some crazy idea I brought back from somewhere else. This is in the Bible. They raise their voices together with one accord. So in one sense, maybe in the church, in our church, we need less what I could call... excuse me. We need less priestly praying from the front and maybe more calling out to God together. And all of the people here seem to be involved with the praying. And can I now mention the importance of coming together to pray? I think those of us who were able to be here last Thursday were very encouraged. And we talked about this in the office. They said, how many are you expecting, Dennis? I said, I'd be content if I got 30. If I got over 40, I'd wonder what was going on. Because, nowhere has been bombed in the world this week, tragically, like the World Trade Center. When that happened, this entire place was filled with people who came together to pray. Very interesting. The biggest prayer meeting we've ever had in this church has been over the demolition of buildings, which is extraordinary when you think about it, that we got more passionate about all of that than about people go into a lost eternity normally. I mean, I'm not minimizing this. Of course, it was terribly tragic that on that occasion in New York, over 3,000 people were killed. Of course, that's a terrible thing to happen. But that sort of stuff is happening all the time in our world, isn't it? You think of that tsunami there was at Christmas a few years ago. You think of earthquakes. I mean, it's not as though these tragedies don't happen all the time. And yet there was something about that particular one, maybe because we'd seen it acted out on the television. Who knows? But something happened in people and they came together to pray. It is really important that we come together to pray. A healthy church is going to be a praying church. It was great last Thursday that we were able to call out to the Lord together on a whole variety of issues. And if you were there, you remember I gave you some answers to prayer that we'd had on a day of prayer and fasting we'd held in 2008. I said, well, this is what we were praying about in 2008. Here's some answers. Because it's always nice to know whether or not this stuff works, isn't it? So the form of their prayer. We can pray in many different ways. And obviously, if you're on your own at home, it's going to be different from being with a big congregation of people. But when we come together to pray, let's not be timid to lift up our voices together. The form of their prayer. What was the focus of their prayer? Well, the focus, it started off by saying, Sovereign Lord. The focus of their prayer to start with was God. Sovereign Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth. They're not building up God's part here, but they're building up their faith. You spoke by the Holy Spirit, the creator of the heaven and earth. You've spoken by the Holy Spirit. They're putting their faith in a God who speaks and is active. And then they talk about, you spoke through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And in a sense, they're saying, God, we know you're a God who keeps covenant. You're a God who keeps his promises. Hundreds of years ago, you spoke through David, you spoke to David, and we're anticipating that you're going to speak to us today. So the focus of their prayer was God. And it's really important when we pray that God is the focus of our prayer, because so often we can let the problem be the focus of our prayer, can't we? We don't necessarily focus on God, we focus on the problem. Callum Hearn, who's the young man in the youth congregation who had an operation for cancer last month, he put this on his Facebook site yesterday. I don't know where he got it from or if it just came from him, but I thought it was really good. Don't tell your God you have a problem. Tell your problem you have a God. I thought that was tremendous. I'd never heard that before. Don't tell your God you have a problem. Tell your problem you have a God. And that puts it the other way around. The focus must be God. When we are absolutely convinced in our mind how great God is, how majestic God is, how miraculous God is, then our focus is right. So we've thought about the form of their prayer. I've said a little about the focus of their prayer. What about the fruit of their prayer? Well, when they prayed, the supernatural happened. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. So that was part of the fruit of their prayer. The supernatural happened. The surprising happened. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So supernatural, surprising stuff was happening. If we're praying to God, we should surely be expecting that something's going to happen. If nothing is going to happen, you'd be better off going home and doing something else, wouldn't you? You'd be better doing a kind deed for somebody else. But when we pray, we expect that something will happen. We expect that there will be fruit. The supernatural happened, the surprising happened, and ultimately the saving happened. Because as you read the story on, you see that more and more people were added to the church. Prayer changes churches, because as we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit emboldens us for outreach, and outreach leads to people coming to faith. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Maybe you're here this afternoon and you're not even sure where you stand before God. Like many people, you've prayed in an emergency in life, and maybe God's answered you in mercy. But his goodness has not yet led you to repent of your sins. Maybe he's delivered you out of a tight space. He's come to your aid. Maybe he's even healed you. But you know in your heart you're still not saved. And that is a tragedy. And if you fall in that category this afternoon, the prayer you need to pray is just this simple sentence. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then others here who are believers, what's your personal prayer life like? If we're honest, most people's prayer life needs an MOT test every week. Many Christians have times when they find it difficult to pray consistently, and other times when it's difficult to pray at all. Not only don't we pray much on our own, but months and months or even years can go by and we never ever make it to a single church prayer meeting. I just encourage you to rededicate your prayer life to the Lord and ask him to change you and to change this church. I'm going to pray a prayer now, and you may like to pray in your own heart too. Dear Lord, as we've looked at this passage from Acts, help us to desire a refreshing and a reviving of our prayer lives. We know your church must continue and grow until Jesus returns. O Lord, give us the determination to live out what we believe about prayer. May we have an awareness and a consciousness of your presence that we have not known before. Help us in our own prayer lives. Help us as a fellowship to unite together in prayer, to see great things done because we've really prayed. So hear this prayer, and may you lead us forward to see fruit for our praying. Amen. Well, we're going to sing one more song. As we do so, if you wish to make an offering this afternoon, the baskets are here at the front. I'm not sure if we put out three baskets to save your feet or total optimism.